So I've lived in Los Angeles for a few years now and actually stumbled across some actors. In fact, I was with Arjuna in a light bulb store, and he walked up to this woman and said, "Weren't you that woman in such and such?" And she said, "Yes." And then she proceeded to buy her 60-watt bulb and, you know, went on her way. But having been there for a few years, I've actually picked up some acting exercises. And I'm wondering if you're willing to try one with me. Yes? Okay, here's the exercise. We stand up. And you're being cast in a role. You're a new actor. You're in Los Angeles, and you are so excited. But you have to win the part. And the guru's line is, "How feel you?" And you're like, "And ready, I am awake, and ready, I am awake, and ready." And he likes that, and he says, "We have a new commercial, it's called Raw Enthusiasm." And you chomp on it, and you go, "I am positive, energetic, enthusiastic, I am positive, energetic, enthusiastic, I am positive, energetic, enthusiastic, fantastic." And they say, "We've got a new Tarzan role for you. I am master of my body. I am master of myself. I am master of my body. I am master of myself. Awake, rejoice, my body cells. Awake, rejoice, my body cells. Awake, rejoice, my body cells." And then rapping, "Be glad, my brain. Be wise and strong. Be glad, my brain. Be wise and strong. And awake, my sleeping children. Awake, awake, my sleeping children. Awake." And let's sit down and take this enthusiasm calmly inside. Close the eyes for a moment. And let's focus it at a still point between the eyebrows. Just taking a moment to feel Master's presence and Swamiji's presence with us. And since our homework this week was to increase our happiness, Swamiji whispers a secret of happiness in our ear. The secret of happiness is the determination to be happy always, no matter the outer circumstances. The determination to be happy always and not wait for outer circumstances to change. Our topic this morning is discipleship, the path of inner joy. So I thought I would start by talking on my first path, which was dogma, the outer path of utter boredom. And I have a few experiences, more than a few, but a couple standout ritual, traumatic ones. The first being my first confession. So you're Roman Catholic, you grow up and you're supposed to do these things, and your mother brings you to church and you're supposed to confess. The original Trinity that I knew was sin, guilt, confession. So I needed some sins. Fortunately, my father was a proficient curse word artist, so I had that. And then also, I just went in there and I had taken some bubblegum from my brother, too. So it was the old school kind of confession where they have the screen there, and you just have to let it all out. And I didn't know if he could hear me or not, so I just wanted to make sure. And I tried to say it clearly, and when I came out, my mother, her jaw was on the floor. She said, "Philip, next time you confess, you must speak softer. The entire church heard your sins." Oh my gosh. So that was my first one. And then shortly thereafter was my first communion, which, this is not a joke, I dropped. I blame it on the priest. It just happened. And then I picked it. I was like an Aborigine fisher with my bare hands. I just grabbed it from the floor and kept going. But I was thinking, where did my path of discipleship start? Where did I find Master, where did this resonance of an inner joy and an inner true experience begin? And I wanted to share just a brief line from Master's invocation to the Guru. Our souls met after years of waiting. They trembled with an omnipresent thrill. We met here because we had met before. Haven't we all had that experience in some way or another where we've met Master or we've met Swamiji and something stood still in our heart, in our soul, and we were rooted to the spot? I remember I used to work in New York City in finance, and I was desperate, utterly desperate to find peace. And somewhere, somehow, I wanted to learn to meditate. I don't even know where that came from. And I was on a sales trip in a used bookstore in the Milwaukee airport, and I uttered mentally probably the most sincere prayer I ever have. And looking up, I just said, I need a good book. You've got to send me a good book to read. And the next book I pulled off the shelf was Autobiography of a Yogi. And I saw Master's picture, and I trembled. It's something in me, that picture stirred. But then I wanted to take that inspiration. You know, my father always said, this is where the rubber hits the road, son. And I wanted to hit the road. I wanted to roll up my sleeves. I just had this, I had taken that raw enthusiasm vegetable, and I was, this is it. And I would go into, you know, like the trading floor, and this is it. But no one was really into it there. So I started searching on the internet, and I came across Ananda. And I got the Course in Self-Realization, and it said, if you have any questions, call this number. And I did. And who did I talk to but Krishnadas, who befriended me? And I just had that personal connection with him. And then from there, I learned that there was an Ananda Center on the East Coast in Rhode Island, and I met Larry, now Om Prakash, and Prem Shanti. And these dear souls took me in. I felt like I had known them. We had met here because we had met before. And Jaya was there also. What I loved about these people when I met them was, you know, they didn't seem to talk about God at all. They didn't really, yes, they talked about the teaching somewhat, but it wasn't like they wore it on their sleeve, but, you know, it was painted on their face. You could see this joy. And I knew they had something that I wanted. And so I asked myself, what, you know how Swamiji would say, if you meet a few people, you can say that they're special. But when you see a whole group of people, it's what they're doing that makes them special. And so I continue to meet more and more people, and they continue to impress me on a deeper and deeper level. And I kept asking myself, what is it that they're doing? And then Swamiji came to Rhode Island, and Dharma Devi gave me this picture this week. She said, look at this. She pulled out this old picture, and I just like that when I found Autobiography, this picture. It's when I first met Swami in Rhode Island. And I think since it's Spiritual Renewal Week, you know how they do Civil War reenactments? Why not do a discipleship reenactment? You know, go to your meditation room, light your candle, pull out the pictures, light the incense, and reenact what that moment was like when your soul trembled. And in fact, I remember the conversation Swamiji and I were having. Believe it or not, we were talking about buffalo mozzarella. And I was really enthusiastic because I lived in Hoboken, New Jersey at the time, and it was right around the corner from a great deli, Italian deli. And to me, you know, they had this sign in there that encapsulated the spiritual path, so I wanted to share it with Swamiji. And I said, Swamiji, I've read some of your books and how Master said to you, I said something and he kind of corrected me. I misquoted something Master said. You know, I just didn't know exactly what I was talking about, but I think he appreciated the enthusiasm. So anyway, I said, yeah, there's this Italian deli right where I live. And it says, the sign says, the taste of a good mozzarella is long remembered after price is forgotten. I said, this is it. This encapsulates the whole path. And he just smiled and just said, I don't know if you thought I was bonkers or what, but that, what were these people doing? I just continued to, every person I met and everything that they shared with me, it was an invitation of inspiration. You know, it was like Swamiji's whole life was an invitation of inspiration. It was, you know, the Indian ragas, how they have a melody and they spontaneously, creatively expand upon that melody. Well, it's like his whole life was a raga of discipleship, a raga of love of the guru, of service to the guru. And everything, the music, I remember, you know, I grew up, I played a little bit of guitar, but I never thought I could sing it. I didn't receive the most encouragement, you know, from my brother and people, shut up. Stop, please. So I had a little bit of that. And Om Prakash, Larry, in Rhode Island, I'll never forget this. He said, would you like to sing in the choir? And I was just, sing? I can't sing. But, you know, everyone, that's one of the things that's unique about Ananda is the music, what we experienced last night. It's so deeply moving. And when I came to, in fact, this is a special week for me too, because this was my first visit to the village, Spiritual Renewal Week, about 14 years ago or so, or whenever it was. And I remember Jeannie was leading a round. Help me out here. Give me a light to light my way. Truth is the light, so wise men say. And we did this round over and over again. And I went back to New York, and I was, you know, selling and walking on the streets of New York, and I was singing that. I held on to that melody. Do not underestimate the power of this music to touch someone's heart. Because that's what Swamiji did. He touched our hearts. And now, as Master said, follow the living link. Where is that living link? I see him through all of you. You have touched my heart. When I used to, you know, get up and put the suit and tie on. And I remember I was listening. I don't know how it happened. I was just, it was like 6:30 in the morning. I'm listening to, I got Christ Lives, the oratorio. I happen to be listening to it while I'm putting my suit and tie on before journeying to work. And Swamiji was singing the Psalm of David. And something happened. That song just, it got into my heart. And I just had tears coming down my cheeks. But it wasn't like an emotional sobbing. It was like that Divine Mother chant. Will that day come to me, Ma? When saying, Mother dear, my eyes will flow tears. It was just like, I was like, what? What is it? What did they put in the food out there? Something got in my system. But I found that the more that I opened, like the song the singer sang this morning, the more I opened to his love, the more blessed I was, the more I just made that invitation myself to invite Master and Swamiji's presence into my life, the more I was transformed and changed. And so I wanted to share one other thought in that respect too, was in regards to music. When I started listening to Swamiji's talks, there was something about his voice. I'm sure you've all had this experience. I remember being on an airplane, and Krishnadas sent me the companion talks to the Raja Yoga course, and I just listen to them over and over, and they're dynamite. If you haven't heard them, you should listen to them. But there was something about his voice. It was authentic. He was speaking from his own center. And then I came here, and I met Jyotish, and I met Devi, and Asha, and Ananta, and Nalini, and all of you. And all these people were speaking from the personal conviction born of their own personal experience. That's what I love about Ananda and about this path of discipleship, is that it's not book learning. It's people rolling up their sleeves. And we have this camaraderie that's not a familiar warmth. You know, it's not a buck you up-o, slap you on the back, good old college days. It's, as Master said, there's a distant closeness. You know, that's the type of friendship that we share. There's something very deep. I feel really close to Prakash. I feel like he would let me drive his tractor. We've never talked for over 5 minutes, I don't think, you know, in all the time that I've been here at Ananda. But I think if I really wanted to drive his tractor, he would let me. Within reason. So, one of the other aspects of when I was thinking about what were they doing? What were these disciples here? What made them special? It was seeing the highest in each other. Just like Jyotish and Devi were speaking the other night, I think in the Q&A, making a conscious decision to see the highest in each other. And it doesn't mean that we become ignorant and not tuned into reality, but you choose to tune into the highest reality, that relating to each other as a soul. And Swamiji, of course, touched us in this way. In fact, when I received my spiritual name, Narayan, I didn't want a spiritual name. You know, I was like, it's not for me. And I wrote to Swamiji when I was in the monastery here with Nitai and Nabha, and I felt this call to go to India to, you know, just leave it all kind of thing. And he said, no, your place is, you know, here to serve at Crystal Clarity. And it was after we performed the Jewel and the Lotus, that play, and I was playing the part of Narayan. And so after that play at the Sunday service, Swamiji called me, and he said, Nabha said, Phil, Swami's calling you. And I turned, and he said, hello, Narayan. That is your name, and he blessed me there. But I don't share this as a personal experience. I'm sharing it to illustrate this point that he saw the highest in us all. And it doesn't matter if we've never met Swamiji in the body. We never met Master. None of us met Master in the body, I don't think. We all feel his living presence within. So the more that we open up to his love, the more that he can steal in. Yeah, as Sri Yukteswar said, I love that quote in autobiography, that wisdom is assimilated with the atoms, not the intellect. And that's how people digest their realization here, is they take it in. They take it from the inside out. You know, you look at Swamiji's life, the path, discipleship, the path of inner joy. Goodness gracious, there is a lot of outward activity going on. You know, like when some of the founding members say when they came to Ananda, there was nothing here. There was just, it was a pig farm. It was dirt roads. It was gravel. You know, like when Kamaran came, when Melody came, when I came, there was paved roads. There was electricity. There was Wi-Fi. It was a different world. I mean, but you have to look underneath that form to that inner joy, which animates all these activities, which makes Ananda so dynamic and creative and inspiring. I wanted to close with the story about the thief who became a devotee. Many of you probably know this story. It's actually partly a real story. Swami Vivekananda meant a monk yogi in India. So I'm going to semi-embellish the story here. But the story goes that there was a thief, and he was outside a temple. And it was a very ornate temple with a lot of gold all over and relics and this sort of thing. And he was really feasted his eyes on everything there. And he tried to, you know, get in and steal. But there was this one saint there, the saint of the temple, Swami, let's call him Swami Pranaba for right now. So Swami Pranaba was the saint there at the temple, this realized master, and he couldn't find a way in. And then finally, one night, the thief snuck in, and he took all as much gold as he possibly could. He threw it on this beautiful ornate rug right in front of the altar. He rolled the rug up, pulled it over his shoulder, and he just started running as fast as he could from the temple. And from behind him, he heard someone running after him, so he ran as fast as he could. And then finally, Saint Pranaba caught up with him and said, "Here, my friend, wait, wait." And the thief got down on his knees and said, "Please, please, no, 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 please don't throw me in jail. Please, please do not." He said, "No, no, my friend, I have come. You forgot some of the gold utensils and some of the gold singing bowls and some of this gold. Here, I want to give it to you." And this thief was on his knees, and he said, "Here, I have come to steal from you, and today you have stolen my heart. You have been a thief of my heart. Will you make me your disciple?" Let that all be our prayer, that the Master steal into our heart of hearts. God bless you.